Yes, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is worth celebrating. You would not be here if you didn't have a mother. No matter what you think about your mother, you would not be here. The pastor before us, Peter Cochran, he used to ask this question very often to the congregation. He said, "What is the purpose of an apple tree? What is the purpose of an apple tree?" What do you think? For apples? The answer is to produce other apple trees. This is actually very deep. To produce other apple trees. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why are we here? To reproduce other believers. From the very beginning of Scripture, it's all about reproduction. In the natural, a young man, a young woman gets together and get married. At some point, there's a desire. There's a desire for a child. In Scripture, we read many accounts of women that were barren and how desperate they were. Why do you think God put those stories in Scripture? It's not by accident. And it's not just about natural birth. It's a spiritual principle. And we, Life Center Livingston, we are at that point now where God is looking for us to be so desperate to reproduce the life of God that we will truly commit our lives to Him. Truly step in for it. That's the point that we are at. The door that God will open for us for the new location is dependent on our hearts. Yes, I know the door is shut at the moment, but God has said, "I will do it. I said I would do it, and I will do it." So let's not be in disbelief. What can we do? Make sure our hearts are right. Make sure our hearts are pressing in for the harvest. I found myself at the end of last year, can't remember when it was, I just find myself praying something different. I find myself praying, "God, will you show us a new way of evangelism?" Didn't really think that much about it. I just prayed a prayer. And then I heard this testimony from an English chap called Phil Moore. And he was sharing about how God is saving people in Iran and the way that evangelism takes place in Iran. And it really captivated my heart when I was hearing this, because I knew God is doing something special. You will all be aware, you're reading and you're keeping up to date, that there is a magnificent move of God in Iran. The government cannot stop it. The government cannot stop it. It's a Holy Spirit thing. You cannot put a lid on Holy Ghost. It's not possible. It's laughable to think that any human can stop the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And then after hearing a little bit, then I decided I'm going to buy this book, which I did. The Forgotten Manifesto of Jesus. How revival in Iran is spreading across the world. because this way of evangelism is going elsewhere. It's in Afghanistan, it's in India, it's in Turkey, it's in London. It's in London, right? Do you know what? God is the creator, and he can reach people in millions of different ways. In millions of different ways. But this particular one is really based on Luke chapter 10. When I read this, I was truly challenged. I was truly challenged. And when Phil, this chap, was sharing his own experience, he was a pastor in their church, and people used to come to his church to find out how to run church because they saw this being very successful. But Phil said, in his heart, he knew this is not success because the people that have come from other churches. We are not reproducing. That's why I'm challenged. My heart is challenged. God has sent you, beautiful people, mighty men and women of God. You have come here because God has sent you. But we need to get people from death into life. You've been transplanted, and we praise God for that. But that is not new birth.
Yeah.
How many people have we led to the Lord for the first time over the last year?
Yeah.
How many? Not very many. We need to be honest. Let's face the facts. It's not what God intended. We need to be challenged. Hannah in the Bible got so desperate to have a child that she wept before the Lord. Even the priest could not stop her. She kept pressing into God. We need to have that hunger to see reproduction. We need to have that hunger. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. It's all about laborers into the harvest. Do you notice here, it tells you about the 70. Some manuscripts say 72, but let's stick with 70 for the sake of it. They're not named. They're not famous people. We don't even know their names. So who is it? It's you and I. It's us. That's what the Lord is showing in this. This is for the ordinary believers. You don't need to have a name. You just need to be a follower of Jesus. And what does it say? The Lord appointed. He's appointed me. He's appointed you. Does the scripture not say that we are royal priesthood?
Amen.
So that is you and that's me. That means we are preachers. We are preachers. You might not feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. The word of God says that's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are, Life Center people. We are preachers of the gospel.
Amen.
He sent them out two by two. What? How did they start? Well, it says, therefore pray. Everything starts with prayer. You pray before you go. Of course you do. You should be praying without ceasing, right? That's our heart's desire, to be in communication with the Lord at all times. It's an attitude of our heart. Obviously, when we are doing our day-to-day work, we can't always be shakering, stickering, because we are there to actually pay to do a job. But in our heart, we're still connected with the Lord even while we are doing our job. Then going on to verse 3 in the same chapter. Go your way, behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. That talks about being just little people. sort of nobodies, just little people, lambs amongst wolves. Yes, there will be a lot of people that don't want to hear. That's okay. God sends us. Expect opposition. We're just little people, but we have a powerful message. Verse 4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. In this book, they call that stripped down to size. In Iran, they actually go, they actually leave all their money behind. This is amazing. They just leave everything behind and then they just go. And they just end up somewhere in the country. And they end up befriending somebody. And they end up saying, yeah, I don't have anywhere to stay. And people invite them in, just like they did in the days of Jesus. Now, I know our society is a bit different. But the principle is, you're stripped down to size. You don't go in there, yeah, I have everything. You just go in amongst people. You're just a little person with a big God. Stripped down to size. Verse 5, but whatever house you enter, say first, peace to this house. Looking for people of peace. Now, when we go into the world, there'll be many people of war or people of argument. But as Christian people, we are looking for the people of peace. Sometimes you have to talk to a lot of people before you find a person of peace. That person of peace, when we find that person of peace, will have a tribe around them. Do you know what I mean? They have a network of people where they are respected. Why? Because they are a person of integrity, they're seeking peace, they're not looking for trouble. There's a lot of very good people out there. They can be good people even though they're not born again yet. Many of you probably experienced in your work situation and business world. I met a lot in my business life. I met a lot of people of peace that have a high integrity. Mm-hmm. They would do anything to help their neighbor, but they were not born again. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people like that around. Seek them out. This is what the Lord is saying. You seek out these people of peace. And you start a communication with them. Usually conversation starts with a trivial, oh look, the sun is out today. That's how you would start it in Scotland, because Scottish people like to talk about weather, isn't it? That's okay. And then the conversation goes from trivial to non-trivial, and then it usually goes to, what are your struggles? Because if you can find out what a person's struggle is, then you can start to share stories with them. This is how they do it in Iran. Remember in Iran, if you mention the name of Jesus, it could be your last word, literally. So what they do is they share stories. They share stories. We have tremendous freedom in this country, praise God. We can speak the name of Jesus, we can speak it aloud, we can speak it publicly, we can speak the name of Jesus everywhere. Amen. We can. Praise God. But the way that they do it in these countries is they start to share stories. Here we have the Alpha Course, which is a sort of European version where you befriend people and you come in and you share the gospel with them. When they find the people of peace, they ask them, would you like to come into a discovery group to discover how you can help other people with the issues of life? And so they start these discovery groups. And the person of peace that they have found becomes the leader of the discovery group. And they start to share the stories. Guess what the stories are? It starts in Genesis 1. It starts in Genesis 1. It's amazing. I've marked it here. The first story is Genesis 1. God creates the world. The second story is God creates man and woman. So it's Genesis 2:4-25. The third story is man and woman disobey God. Genesis 3:1-13. The fourth story is Genesis 3:14-24. God judges a sinful world. And so it goes on. It's up to 27 lessons. We always tell people start to read the Gospel of John or read the Gospels, which is great. All of us, God's Word is great. But they start with Genesis. Basically, they go from Genesis all the way through to the Gospel of John. Step by step, God created the world. What happened? All the way through to Jesus the Savior. The amazing thing, and what totally challenged me, is that the Christian person is not leading this group. The person of peace is leading this group. Oh, that's alien to us, isn't it? Because we like to control. We feel that we need to be there in order to instruct people. When I read this book, there's two things I felt strongly to repent for. One, failing to grasp just how powerful the Word of God is. The Word of God is powerful. Yes, it's good that we are there to teach, but Holy Spirit is the real teacher. Holy Spirit is the real teacher. Have we maybe overlooked just how powerful it is to get a person to read Scripture by themselves? Have we overlooked the power that is in the Word of God? Thinking that we will be able to explain it better. Yesterday at the Send, there was one of the teens testifying how he gave a Bible to somebody else, to another teenager in the class. And the next day when he got on the bus, he had said to the chap, start at Matthew chapter 1. Next morning when he gets in the bus, the teenager is reading the Bible, because this was the first time he got an actual Bible in his hand, not just a Bible app. And the guy was sitting reading chapter 18. And the guy's thinking, he's read 18 chapters since yesterday. See, the Word of God is powerful. And we in the West, I think, I'm talking for myself, I felt I need to repent for not realizing how powerful the Word of God is by itself. Yes, we have to preach it, but giving somebody a Bible, telling them about the Bible app, have a read of this, have a read of it. The second thing that I felt to repent from is how powerful Holy Spirit is. Sometimes we get mixed up as believers and we have this feeling that we need to convince people. But it's Holy Spirit that convicts people of sin. It's not our job. Our job is to preach the good news. You tell the good news. People don't typically respond very well if you feel like you're there to point out all their sin. You shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. All have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned. No need for us to point out. Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of sin. He leads people into all truth. The stories from Iran is so miraculous. Because here you have these people of peace, they start to read the scripture. And then as they start to get And even when I read a couple of chapters in the Old Testament, the lives are changing. The men are saying, I need to treat my wife differently. I need to treat my animals differently. Because, dear God, this is how God made it. I've been doing this wrong. And so they start to change the way they live. And then, of course, when they come to the New Testament, and then they realize Jesus is the Son of God, and they give their lives to Jesus. And at that point, they say that group is now like a house group. That's now a house church. Because then every one of them typically convert to Christianity. They get born again. They get baptized in water. That's now a house church. The government's not able to stop this. Because it's not led even by a Christian. It's led by Holy Spirit. Can you see how this kind of evangelism, you're depending on the Word of God and Holy Spirit. And it's the person of peace that is leading it. So your laborers are not even born again yet. Isn't that glorious? So powerful. Just to say how wonderful our Father is. But things are happening in the UK as well. At the recent AOG Day, it was so interesting to hear from the Evangelical Alliance and the statistics, and they're saying that 50% of the people that are coming to Christ at the moment in the UK, it's not happening in church. Are you listening?
No.
It's not happening in church. These people are on their own, at home, having an encounter with God, committing their life to Christ, and then they're going out and they're looking for a church afterwards. Oh, God is doing something.
Amen.
God is doing something. 50% of them. It's happening at home. Why? Because of the Word of God and because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
From 2019 to 2024, there's been an 87% increase in the sale of Bibles in the United Kingdom. 87%. That doesn't count all the Bible apps. Because lots of us are reading the Bible on Bible apps. But this is actually physical Bibles. 87% increase. And these are mostly young people that are buying them. Isn't that glorious? God is doing something. There was research done by something called Talking Jesus Research in the UK. And that showed that 1 in 5 non-Christians, after having a conversation with a Christian about Jesus, say that they are open to have an encounter with Jesus. 1 in 5. That's 20%. That is significant. 20%. If someone, a Christian, speaks to them about Jesus, 1 in 5 are open to meet Jesus. That is significant. Doesn't that tell you that it's worth speaking? So the Lord is saying to us, come on, speak up, speak up, speak up. And we have some great rights here in the UK. We are protected by law to be able to speak up. Many of you here, some of you here were not born here, so you maybe don't know what you're allowed to do. I'm going to read it to you. This is the freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This applies to all of us. Everyone has the right to freedom of thought. This is from the European Convention of Human Rights. This applies all over the UK. Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This includes freedom to change his or her religion or belief, and freedom either alone or in community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in worship, teaching, practice, and observance. These are our rights. And then it goes on to subject only to such limitations as prescribed by law as necessary in a democratic society in the interest of public safety, etc., etc. So obviously you've got to be sensible about it. But we have these rights. We have a freedom of expression. Everyone has the right to freedom of expression. This right shall include freedom to hold opinions, to receive and impart information and ideas without interference by public authority and regardless of frontiers. This article shall not prevent states from requiring the licensing of broadcasting television, cinema, enterprise, blah, 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 and it goes on. We have tremendous freedom. Just because media picks up the odd case here and there, don't forget, you know, as long as we are using some common sense, of course, if a person says, I'm not interested, don't force feed people. You're looking for a personal peace. I'm looking for a personal peace. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the 20%. Do you understand? The 20% that if they hear about Jesus, they say, yeah, I would like to experience him. That's who we're looking for. Those that are saying that they're not interested, it means they are the 80%. So God is still going to work on them, so you just leave them until they're ready. We don't force. The Bible never forces anybody. It is the good news, and it is an offer. It is a gift of salvation, but if people will not receive the salvation, but they have to hear about it. So, there's almost unlimited freedom to speak about all Christian matters from the pulpit. In a church, we have no limits what we can say. If you are in your home, you do a home group, you invite your neighbors in, you can lead a Bible study, you have no limits what you can say. If you're invited into somebody else's house, this is common sense, I hope. If they say they're not interested, then you stop. Because you can't force feed people. You must respect the hospitality that you're shown, right? This is common sense, isn't it? So when we are at somebody else's house, then we go over their rules. And we show gentleness and respect. But if it's a private property, this is also important for us as we go out. Private property is any place that's owned by someone or some organization which is not governmental. So this would include, for example, the shopping center here in Livingston that is considered private because it's owned by somebody. So we need to just adhere to their rules. Because we own private property. It's not our own house. So we need to stick with that. What about work? In the vast majority of cases, employers will have little problem with Christian employers sensitively discussing Jesus and religious issues with workmates in the same way that they might talk about sports, hobbies, and family life. The employer's desire is to ensure that all the employers work together well. Giving employees freedom in the workplace helps the well-being and can ensure a happier, better performing workplace. Now, when we are at work, of course, we are paid to do a job. We're not there to evangelize. But we all know that in your workplace, there will be breaks where people chat. I remember my first job as a graduate, it was nearly all men. I had to suffer a lot of football talk, oh my goodness. Right, because that's what what the guys were interested in. So they talk a lot about football. So when people ask you, how was your weekend? I had a glorious time at the Sen. Tell them about church. Why not? You have freedom. The Lord protects you. You have freedom to do it. There is nothing stopping us from saying, oh, God is so good. We had some marvelous testimonies of two supernatural healings yesterday. Oh, don't you think that's going to catch their attention? If they're not interested, then you should stop. But for those that are interested, they will think, okay, that person there seems to know about God. And when trouble comes, they'll probably seek you out and start to have a talk with you. Because it seems like you know how to pray. So when they have a problem that can't be solved, they know who knows how to pray. So let's speak up, because the Lord protects us. And most of all, Holy Spirit lives inside. We are the little people. We are the 70, right? We are sent out. Our workplace, our neighbors. So how do we start? Start with praying. Always pray that God will open the right door, that we will have the right words, and He will lead us. The second thing is, let's look up Ephesians 6:5-7. Bondservant, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. And so it goes on. Basically, here Paul tells us, you know, when we are at work, do your work. Consider it as if you were working for Jesus. Because everything that we do as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. As to the Lord. So Ephesians said, be obedient. So in your workplace, you know, unless they tell you to do something illegal or something against your conscience, you basically your manager will tell you what to do. And the scripture tells you, you consider that as if Jesus is talking to you. So when we are in the workplace, we do our best. We treat others the way that Jesus wants us to treat other people. And we do everything as unto the Lord. It's a service unto the Lord. In your workplace, you are serving the Lord. I know sometimes people don't really show appreciation to what you are doing. But the scripture says here, you will be rewarded. Many of you work very, very hard. I know that. You have very responsible jobs. And you don't always get appreciation. But the Lord says, this is the scripture. He says, you're going to get your inheritance. You're going to get your reward. What you're doing unto the Lord. But in context of witnessing and telling others about Jesus. So when you're at your workplace, of course you can't spend the whole day just witnessing. But there comes an opportunity. There always comes an opportunity. I remember many years ago, when I was in business, I had a European team, a US team, and an Asia team. And I was with the European team, and it was a custom for us once a quarter to get together face to face, because we were in different nations. And so I asked them, we were going to meet in Germany this particular year, and I asked them what they wanted to do, because we would have a fun event. Guess what they all said? To my disappointment, if I'm really honest, they said they wanted to go to the beer garden. I do not like beer. I do not like beer. I do not like beer. That's just it. I had an uncle who drank himself and died, and the whole family got split up. I do not like beer. I don't like the taste. If you like beer, that's okay. But if you understand, for me, when they said they wanted to go to the beer garden, I'm really honest with you, I thought, oh my. But of course, this is what they wanted, and I thought, okay, this is just smile, just pretend that this is going to be fun. We'll go to the beer garden. Off we go to the beer garden. Do you know in the beer garden, there's nothing but beer. Nothing but beer. It's there's nothing else to do except to drink beer. And we're sitting there for hours and hours at these long tables and everything, and I'm like really miserable, but putting a smile on. And I'm thinking, I'll make an excuse, go to the toilet or something, and I'm walking out. And then I got talking with this one guy from the team, and the conversation just developed, and I've got to share the gospel with him. I was so astonished. It was the most unlikely opportunity. I got to share the gospel, that God loves you, at the beer garden. The one place where I didn't want to be. So sometimes we have to, as Christians, we have to step out of our comfort zone to be and find these people of peace. Because this guy was really sincere, a really, really sincere man. And he listened. He listened. So let's follow what the scripture tells us. It tells us that we need to be obedient at the work and do everything unto the Lord. So what do? You pray first. You prioritize your work when you're at work, but look for that opportunity. Don't hide away. The more you explain your faith, the more likely they are to come back and ask you. The last point is, know when to stop. Because in the end of the day, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts them. And just know, sometimes you feel led to ask, would you like to open your heart for Jesus now? But other times you can tell, they just need to process. I always say to people, remember how God has been so long-suffering and gracious with us, how long it took for God before we gave our hearts to the Lord. So let's remember that and not push others through the door, but just allow the Holy Spirit to work. Praise God. So I believe this is the point that we are at as a church. It's time for us to step out. I'll just finish, because time is gone. I'll finish with Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We are the preacher. We are the preacher. I believe this is the point that we are at as a church. The foundation has been laid. Now we need to be that outward focused group of believers to reach the lost. People who come in, they will look different from you and I. They will have all different ideas. It doesn't matter. Don't try to correct everything when they come in. Let's just embrace them and allow Holy Spirit to do the work. I was talking to my family back in Denmark, and they're talking about this particular church, and that people are getting saved coming into the church for the first time. And this particular fellow stood up and he said to the church, he said, I've had an encounter with Jesus. My sins are forgiven, but don't tell me what to do with my money and don't talk about my sex life. You see, when people are coming in and they've made the first step, they are not ready to give everything over to the Lord. Come on. Remember your own journey. Let's not pretend that we are perfect. Remember our own journey. How long it takes before you trust the Lord with all of your finance, all your private life. It takes time. So people who come in, let's embrace them. Let's share the word and the love of God with them. The Holy Spirit will do the work. The life will be transformed. Holy Spirit will do the work. The word of God is powerful. Holy Spirit is at work. Let's pray together. Father, here we are. We are Life Center Livingston. We so appreciate you. Thank you, Father, that you have sent every one of us to be part of an expression of faith here in Livingston, to reach the people of Livingston and the surrounding area. Forgive us, God. We are forgetting how powerful your word is. Forgive us, Holy Spirit. We are forgetting it is you that convict of sin, and you do such a great job of it. We surrender our lives afresh to you. We will no longer partner with the fear of man. We will no longer partner with being silent. You told us to go, and so we surrender afresh to you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. We are trusting you that we would reproduce the life of God in Livingston for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.